2 Corinthians. I tried all day to work a deal out with the Holy Ghost, but he wouldn't listen to me. There are several things I have great confidence in and that I know. You know, if you've done something 10 or 12, 15, 20 times, you feel like that's what I ought to do this time. I thought it would be good to do the glory of God, but the Holy Ghost didn't think so. And then I tried to negotiate with him on the love of God. I said, I understand that, but he wasn't interested. I made a couple other suggestions, and by noon I bent my knee and I said, all right, what is it that you want to say? That you want to say? Several weeks ago I was praying for a group of people, a body of people, and I had a vision. Don't have too many. I've had more since Pastor laid hands on me than I've ever had. And I saw in that body of people, two people. Saw them clear enough to know who they were and where they were standing. And I came up behind them and I said, run, run, run. And I saw them the other day. They were not together, you understand. They came through a door together. I had to restrain myself. I wanted to say, run. I didn't think they'd understand that. And about noon, and they probably wouldn't have, probably taken off for the nearest bus station, I guess. About noon, when I said, all right, what is it that you'd like to say to your people tonight? He said, I want to tell them to run. Well, here's the scripture upon which we'll begin. Verse 14, chapter 2. Verse 14, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Thanks be unto God, which always. Now, if I had written the scripture, if it had been inspired by me, I would never have taken such a bold or grandiose step and say always. I'd have said, thanks be unto God, which usually works it out for you. I said, he's a merciful God. There's hope for you. That's what I'd have put in there. I'd have watered it down. I wouldn't have made such a broad commitment. But the God of glory said, thanks be unto God. He knew he could make a commitment. He could keep it. He said, I'll always, that's a good spot to pull up your chair and just sit a while. And when the devil comes to you and bombards your mind, just point that one word always out to him and he knows that you've known. That you know. Now to triumph is to win or to have victory, to prevail, to overcome. And he said, you can always win. Now, there's a particular problem here. He doesn't know where Titus is. Look at verse 13. I have no rest in my spirit. I've found not Titus, my brother. That's the problem over which he's trying to get victory. Where is he? Where is he? He had no rest in his spirit. In other words, he was alerted by the Spirit of God. He ought to know where Titus is. And he couldn't rest over it. Wouldn't mean he was losing sleep physically, although he might have meant it. Meant his heart was churning and churning, constantly saying to him, where is he? Where is he? Well, when he comes down to the next verse, you can tell he's already found him. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. He has confidence in Almighty God, and he knows I can find him. And he heads out, you'll see in that verse, to Macedonia to locate him. He said, always. Now that word causes means to lead in the direction of. So when he steps foot to find Titus, he's led by the Holy Ghost, led in the direction of victory. And it's only as I follow the footsteps of the Holy Ghost that I'm led in the direction of victory. He can't cause me to triumph. He says, go east and I go west. You've done that, haven't you? Done that a time or two myself. You found that didn't pay, didn't you? No dividends, no reward, no victory. And go in the opposite direction of the Holy Ghost of God. And Pastor tells us so often, don't go until you know. So until you sense which way the Holy Ghost is going, you ought to be stationary, you ought to be sedentary. Just pull your chair and sit on always. And know I have direction coming, and that direction's going to bring me victory. It's going to bring me triumph. I say sometimes, I don't know exactly what it is that I know, but I know that I know. I'm not going to admit I don't know. The scripture says the Lord's my shepherd, I don't want. That means I don't want for wisdom. I don't want for knowledge. I don't want for understanding. I know somewhere in the human spirit where the Holy Spirit has residence, I do know. I just don't know exactly what I know. Isn't that right? We say it dawns on you. Now look at 1 John 5. We have revelation coming from the Spirit of God, and if I follow that revelation, I'm going to always triumph. I'm going to always win. I like to say, this is no nine-inning game. This game's not over till I win. And I know I'm the winner. I'm the winner. I'm the one who triumphs. I'm the one who's led the victory. How many times? How many?
Always.
How many?
Always.
That's comforting, isn't it?
Yes.
My, I like that. Chapter 5, 1 John 4, verse 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes. My, what a low criteria, just be born. Made it real hard, didn't it? Just be born. Come into the kingdom, step out of the darkness, step into the light, let that light guide you. You got it. So simple. You know, I was a sinner. I was in the dark. Satan was my father. That's what the scripture declares. Well, you can't see in the dark. Now, at our house, our neighbors have great spirits of fear. And they have magnificent yard lights. And our house is never dark. And if you like dark, I'll just spare you some money. Don't buy many blinds because they don't keep out the light. And that's what we did. And so night or day, it can be pitch black out, but you can still get up in the middle of the night, go all the way to the kitchen by the neighbor's light. See, and the light keeps me from stumbling. It keeps me from falling. Well, I was born into the light. He said, I was taken out of darkness and put into, I was born. You understand birth. I was seeing the other day on the news that now they put in hospital up in the north, puts new babies on the computer as soon as he's born so that the families all across the United States can see the new baby. That's that baby's first appearance. And there was a day when I confessed my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was my first appearance in the kingdom. But now that I'm in the kingdom, I have access to the light and life of God. And it's that light which causes this constant victory. I'm expecting to win. I'm not expecting to be defeated. I'm not expecting to be confused. You know about the deadly deeds, don't you? The alphabet's a wonderful thing. All of your words of comfort begin with R. Tremendous number of them. Righteousness, redemption, remission, reconciliation. And then you have what I call the deadly deeds: depression, dread, despondency, despair, death. Well, if I walk in the light, I'm out of the D's and into the R's. I'm reconciled to God. Now it says in verse 4, whosoever is born, were you born into the kingdom? Were you born in the light? This victory is for you. Somebody always wants to convince you they don't have enough faith for something. I want to say, well, are you dead? Because if you're alive, we have the great book of faith, the oracles of faith right here before us, and the victory is yours. It says, this is the victory that overcomes the world. That's a pretty broad statement. It's similar to always. Overcomes the world. There's a lot of death, destruction, despair, and despondency in the world, but if it's in the world, you can have victory over it. He doesn't even have to be of the world. The devil's here. He's in the world. He's not of the world. He was created by Almighty God. Fell from that creation into sin, but he lives in the world. He's not of the world, but if it's in the world, you can have victory over it, including him. That's what it says. If it's in the world, well, that pretty well eliminates defeat, doesn't it? Because money's of the world, sickness is in the world, poverty's in the world, the devil's in the world. Disobedient children are in the world. If it's in the world, you got it. I said, if it's in the world, you've got it. If you've been born. If you've been born. Well, were you born into the kingdom? Did you confess your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? They'd say in Scotland, are you now walking in the light? Victory, triumph. Now look at Romans 8. That triumph is because of faith in his promises, my commitment to his word. I like Romans 8. We read it, but we don't examine it. We're going to look at it just a minute. Verse 37. It says, no or nay in all these things. What things? Anything that's in the world. We just found that out. If it's in the world, all what things? All the things in the world. all of those things in the world. We are what? Not less than a conqueror, not almost a conqueror, more than a conqueror through him that loved us. Now the list of things in the world is found in verse 35. It's a wonderful list. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation. The word tribulation means under pressure. It means to be afflicted. It really means pressure of circumstances and antagonism of persons. You know what that means? It means somebody's bugging the stew out of you. Tribulation. To be under pressure. Was pressure in the world? You can have the victory, can't you? Thanks be unto God, which what? Which what? Which what? Which what? See, you need to say always till you believe it. It's easy to believe when the pressure's not on, isn't it? Well, pressure. And then it says distress. That is the nicest word. It means to be in a narrow spot. That's to be in a jam. That's what we'd say. It means to be in a narrow spot. That's why the psalmist, the word is also used in the Hebrew. The psalmist said, he's planted me in a large room. It means I was in a jam, he bailed me out. To be under pressure, to be in a jam, to be in a tight spot, to be restricted. You know, if you're sick, you're restricted. Sickness is referred to as a curse, as a bondage. The word bondage means to be restricted or tied. The devil comes along and says, you can't leave home today. He restricts you. He places limits on your activity. Oh, he says, I think you shouldn't even leave your room today. He said, maybe you shouldn't even leave the bathroom today. Stay all day. Begins to dictate to your life. Restrict it, bind it. He says, you can't have that. They won't let you have any money. You'll never get beyond your past. And he begins to bind and restrict. But it says we're more than conquerors over any restriction. You know the old song? What was it? Can't tie me down. Was that an old Western? Well, what's the criteria? You got to be born in the kingdom. And if you're born in the kingdom, how much triumph can you have? How many times?
Always.
How many times?
Always.
How many?
Always.
Over what? Any narrow spot, any jam, any tight spot, any affliction, any calamity, any anguish. That's what those words mean. Now it goes on to add persecution. When you're persecuted, you're pursued. What we'd say is, he is always on my case. You ever said that? I mean, just somebody's just always after you. They won't leave you alone. They hound you. You want to say, go away, go far, far away, go take a long walk on a short pier. Isn't that what you wanted to say? Well, I'm from Auburndale, so that's what you get. That's what we say in Auburndale. Auburndale is my home. To be pursued. Now, famine or nakedness is to be without. Bad enough to be restricted, be in a jam, but to be in a jam and have nothing. I mean, we got trouble here. But thanks be unto God, which what?
Always.
Which what?
Always.
Which what?
Always.
Isn't that good news? Oh, I like it, I like it, I like it, I like it. Then he talks about the sword. That's war. You know what that is? Declared enemies. That's what your children do to you. Maybe not yours. Maybe you never heard these words, but most parents have at one time or another. I hate you. You ever heard that? A declared enemy. Even if they declare their dislike for you. Maybe it's somebody at the office or some boss. They won't promote you. They don't like you. But thanks be unto God, which what?
Always.
Which what?
Always.
Over our enemies. When you're in a jam. When you're in a tight spot. When you're being pursued or hounded or followed. Is that good news or what?
Yes.
Victory belongs to the Christian. Now, look at 1 Corinthians. That was the easy part. Chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. 9:24. Know you not. That's, don't you know this? You ought to know this. Paul's a great one to throw the nose around. He said, no, you're not. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. No, you're not to be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. He thought the people of God ought to know a few things. He's fixing to tell you something what he thinks you really ought to always already know. He said, don't you know? Or you know this? That they which run in a race run all. In other words, everybody's in the race. There aren't any Christians on the sidelines. Everybody runs the race. But one receives the prize, so run, the King James says, that you may obtain. So run that you may obtain. Run that you may obtain what? The prize, the reward. Run for the goal. The Knox translation is a magnificent Bible. It was put in print in World War II and was shortly out of print in the late 50s, early 60s. And the Lord was gracious in seeing that I got one from an antiques dealer. And it says this. You know well enough that when men run in a race, the race is for all, but the prize for one. Run then for the victory. Run then for the... So it's obvious we can have victory, but it's not just going to fall on you. Run is a word that replies effort. When's the last time you ran? You remember? I have just a vague memory that took a lot of effort. I am not a physical person. You can forget it. My sister-in-law called one day, wanted to walk around Hollinsworth with her, and I knew she walked around Hollinsworth a lot, and I said, well, how fast, how long is it going to take? So she thought that I was in a hurry, and I wanted to walk it in a hurry. No, I just didn't want to get killed around the lake. I didn't want to have to call any EMT teams because I was out of breath. One year I had a physical many years ago, and the doctor actually said to me, have you never taken a deep breath? And I was your basic reader. I've been reading since I could read, and I'm still reading, and I'm not a runner, I'm a reader. And she said she could make the lake in 45 minutes easy. I said, I can't go. And there's no use hurting myself, you know. People always want to know how old you are, so I tell you, I'll be 50 early next year, and I'm not going to do any running around Hollinsworth. I don't even expect the Holy Ghost to direct me in that direction. He'd like to preserve me until my 90th birthday. He said, run for victory. Run for victory. Run to obtain. In other words, I'm focused. I'm running toward a particular goal, a particular objective. I'm running with the Spirit of God, with the Scripture in my hand. I'm running the race of God. You know, if you run a race, you just can't take off on your own direction. You got to follow the rules. First rule is be born in the kingdom. They wonder, the sinners wonder why nothing works out for them. They haven't been born. You have to be born to come into the kingdom to have the light. Well, he said, run to obtain or run for the goal. Now keep your marker there if you'd like and look over at Joshua. We read this verse a lot, but I want to tell you something about it. Look at it again. We're going to run that we may what? Have victory. We're going to run for victory. We're going to give victory some effort. What kind of effort are we going to give it? What are we going to do now that I'm born into the kingdom, now that I belong to God, now that the greater one lives in me, now that I have a copy of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost, the anointed one on the inside to interpret the Word of God to me, to teach me the Word of God, what am I going to do? My first step is to meditate day and night in the Scripture. Somebody always wants to know what is day and night. I make it just real clear because this is the way the Lord gave it to me. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now this is Florida. How much air conditioning do you want? How much air conditioning do you want? Day and night. Isn't that right? Day and night. That's what he meant. How much word are you supposed to have? You're supposed to have as much word as you have air conditioning. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. The word is a priority, it means. The word is always in my heart and on my lips. I'm thinking, what does God say? What would God do? Where is that in the word? And my lifestyle is totally around the word. You know, if you have a child, your lifestyle is a lot around that child, just physically and naturally, because they're dependent upon you. And when they're young, you have to say, where are they? Now, what are they doing? And if they disappear and they're quiet, then you need to go check on them and see what they're doing because they're dependent upon you. That's your lifestyle. Well, the Christian born into the kingdom now has a lifestyle of dependency on the Word of God, and they always want to know, now, where's that? Where is it? In the book. Where is it in the Bible? Where is it in the inspired Word of God? I've got to run, and if I'm going to run, I've got to run with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit in my hand, and it says in my mouth, and it says if I can run and do that word, then I can have success. Well, success is another word for victory or triumph or conquer, is it not? Amen. If I succeed, I have victory. If I have victory, I triumph. If I triumph, I've conquered. Well, I'm to have that word in my mouth day and night. How often?
Amen.
How often?
Day and night.
You know, one Saturday afternoon, we had an electrical storm. The electricity went off. Early in the afternoon, we thought it would be right on. It's a hot day, but it wasn't right on. And we were babysitting. We had our granddaughter that day, and she's very busy, and that means you're very busy. So it's not like you can sit and, you know, hope for a breeze. You got to keep moving. Where is she? What does she want? What is she doing? Well, it got hot. I didn't like that. Wayne works for the city. I said, call up there and ask them what's wrong with this system. I want to know when I can have my air conditioning back. And as it turns out, they said, not soon. So now I'm hunting air conditioning. I'm going to go to the mall or somewhere. Air conditioning is important.
Amen.
I gotta have it. I keep my house down at 65 to 68. People that come at my house for prayer automatically know you need to bring your sweater. Now, I will be gracious. I'll move it up to 70 for you. If that doesn't help, you bring your sweater. The lady that comes to pray with me every now and then calls and comes over and we pray. She always comes looking like snowing out. I do like it cool. I don't like to sweat. Well, that's how often do I like it cool? Always, day and night. How much word am I going to need to run for victory? Well, you can't sit in front of your TV and memorize the scripture. If you can, you got more mind than I've got. I have to have it quiet. If I'm going to memorize anything, I'm going to think anything through. If I'm going to talk to God. I said, God, I know you want me to win. I know you want me to triumph. You want me to triumph every time. You said you'd cause me or lead me in the direction of victory. I know just like you led Paul in the direction of Titus when he needed him, when he wanted him, when he was restless in his spirit, when he was concerned about him. I know in this my state that you're going to lead me in the direction of victory. And I'm dependent upon you. Now I'm asking you, which way is the victory? Well, what do you think if he said we could run for victory? He said, run so that when you got the finish line, he could knock you into the sideline and said, nope, you're not the winner. Out. You're out. That wouldn't have been. You wouldn't do that to your children. He won't do that to you. You can have victory. Now, look at Proverbs 4. Here's another way of stating the same thing. It talks about keeping the word before your eyes. Why? So that I can always have victory. I'm born into the kingdom. The word of God is mine. And if I walk in the light of the word of the living God, I can. How often can I triumph?
Always.
But how often do I need the word?
Amen.
Can you see already why we've not had victory in some cases? You can talk to people who come for prayer and say, what scripture are you standing on? And they don't even know. I've had that happen to me. Lady said, I'm praying for a particular relative of yours. Call the name. I said, well, thank you. I thought that was really nice. I thought the Holy Ghost was on my case. Well, he was. But he was on my case to teach me something, to remind me of something. They said, well, when you pray for him, what scriptures do you use? I couldn't remember. I didn't have the foggiest idea. I'm totally ad-libbing. I said, maybe they don't have the spirit of wisdom. Revelation, the knowledge of God, the eyes of understanding enlightened. I don't know if I've ever prayed that for him or not. Tell you the truth. See, I wasn't ready for victory. I wasn't. You can't have victory without the word of the living God. Well, here's Proverbs 4. My son, attend to my words. It means that's verse 20. It means pay close attention. Pay close attention. Incline thine ear means bend your ear. You know, I used to have a friend who was very soft-spoken. And you find yourself getting closer and closer and closer because you don't want to miss anything. You can tell she's not going to talk very loud. You're going to miss what she has to say unless you're very close. And that's what it means. Pay close attention and bend and bow your ear so you don't miss anything at all the Holy Spirit's saying, because what He says to you through the Word and by the Spirit is going to lead you to victory. You don't want to miss that. It says, keep this Word before your eyes. Well, let me just ask you an open-ended question, but how many times, how long are we going to keep it before our eyes? So I'm talking about a lifestyle. Not talking about propping my eyes up with toothpicks. I do have to sleep. Oh, I like about 10 hours myself. If you can function in 6, go for it. But I like to hit the bed about 1 o'clock and get up about 10. Let them not depart before your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life. The Word of God is life. Well, what is life? It's victory. If it brings me life, it brings me victory. How much life am I most supposed to have? Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That word means superior in quantity and quality. You know, sometimes we have to select because of finances. Do we want 10 items at $1, or do we want the better model? We can have 6 of those for $2 a piece. And we have to decide between quantity and quality. But in the kingdom of God, you don't have to make any decision. You can have plenty of the very best. The very best God has to offer, fullness of life, great abundance in your body, in your health, great abundance in your finances. But you have to have the Word before your eyes. How long?
Amen.
How long?
Amen.
And then what's going to happen? How much victory are you going to have?
Oh.
We're getting this, aren't we?
Yes.
Oh, my. My mind. Look at Hebrews 10. Verse 23, it says, let us, who?
Us.
Who?
Us.
Was that you?
Yes.
Hold fast. You know why it says hold fast? Because it's easy to turn loose. It's amazing to me, we take words in a natural setting, we understand them, we put them in a spiritual setting, we totally lose their meaning. If I throw you in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean with a life preserver, say, I won't be back for 24 hours, hold fast. Then you'd get it, wouldn't you? I'd find you 24 hours later scanning the horizon to see if my boat or airplane or whatever I'm landing in, hydroplane, whatever they call those, is coming. You'd be clinging to that life preserver and you'd be looking, you'd be focused. And that's what it says, consider Jesus, the author. What did this begin with? It began with the author, with the originator, the author and the finisher. He's the one who placed this concept in you. He's the one that said, run the race with faith and patience that's been set before you. And He said, if you hold fast to my word, if you hold fast by my spirit, if you keep scanning the horizon for my eyes, for my rescue, for my deliverance, walking in my direction. He said, if you go and go and go and run and not be weary in the power of the Spirit of God, thanks be unto God, I can make you to triumph. I can put you over. I can make you to win. I can delegate victory into your life. I can cause you to go over, not under, to be out front, not behind, to be above and not below. Thanks be unto God. But you're one of those that hold fast to the Word of God. The Word of God is on your lips and in your heart, and it can't be pried loose. And at any moment, somebody would elbow you. Let me tell you what happened. I'm a teacher that preaches. Can you tell that? I had a friend who was memorizing Acts 10:23. She'd been working on it for days to memorize it. And it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, Holy Ghost power, went about doing good and healing all the sick of the devil. So she goes to the grocery store. She'd been memorizing, pondering, meditating on that one scripture. And the cashier said, that'll be $10. And 23 cents. And she said she never thought about it. She never pondered it. She didn't know she was going to do that. She said to the cashier, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. She had it in her heart. She had it in her heart. How much of it did she have in her heart? Night and day. Night and day. Night and day. She had it. See, sometimes we don't have the victory. We haven't got the word. To have the victory, you've got to be born into the kingdom and stand holding fast to the word, clinging with all your heart to that word. You ought to be bothering people with the word. I know last month I don't know if I can give you an accurate count now, but I thought every person under the sun sent me an invitation to something. I think we had 7 in all. And I went to the mall, and I am not a shopper. I want to put it on the rack by the door. Just don't even stress me out. Put it right by the door. In fact, I don't do much shopping. Those who know me know that I have a wonderful sister who does most of our birthday and Christmas shopping. She sends me a bill. I write her a check. Seldom go myself. But I had to go. And I had 7 presents to buy. And about present number 4, I could hear my heart saying, this is an awful lot of money you're spending, you know. This is costing you a lot of money. 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 Next thing you know, I'm thinking, whoo, this is costing me a lot of money. I'm coming into agreement with the devil. About lost my victory at the mall. I got in the car and Wayne's on. I did. That's the truth. It's not that I'm not generous. It's panic set in. I'm thinking, 7 presents, at least $20 a present. This is a lot of money. All in 1 month. I got in the car. I'm not driving. Wayne's driving. He's been doing his thing, you know. And he got in the car, and the door closed, and I said, no, 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 my God. He said, Becky, Becky, Becky. Shall supply all my need. I give, and it's given unto me. Blessed are those who sow, for they shall reap. I'm not weary in sowing. I'm not weary in sowing. I'm not weary. He said, Becky, Becky, Becky. So we are stopped at a red light. You know, when you stir a meringue, a nice meringue has 3 egg whites. You start with 3 egg whites, you have a little bitty, you know what you have? About that much. You beat those dudes. They're that high, and still all you got is 3 egg whites. And all I'm doing is beating the word, saying, you come up out of there and dominate my life in Jesus' name. Cast not away your confidence. Same chapter, Hebrews. Cast not away. That means don't abandon. Don't abandon your confidence. You know, on the news you see abandoned children, abandoned babies found in trash bins, and one in the restroom of a plane, I believe, all kinds of places. They've been abandoned. They've been deserted. It says, don't desert your faith. Don't desert your confidence. Don't desert your victory. You know, I have to have reading glasses. And I have lots of them. And in spite of the fact that I have many pairs, sometimes I can't find them. It's absolutely amazing to me. I try to keep a pair by the phone, a pair in the car, a pair in my purse, and a pair in the bedroom where I read sometimes. And in spite of that, sometimes you search all over the house and the bedroom pair is gone and the phone pair is gone, the car pair is not there and the purse pair is gone. I'm without them, I'm totally abandoned. Well, it says don't abandon the word of God. You'll not be able to see. You'll not be able to see if you abandon the word of God. You'll not have the revelation you need for victory. He said, don't cast that away. Don't abandon your confidence. What is confidence? Have great recompense of reward. Well, what is reward? It's victory. You ever had a reward and you thought it was punishment? This is a wonderful lineup of vocabulary. You know, teachers like vocabulary tests. Victory, triumph, life, conquer, reward, prize, run for the prize. It says run, 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 run. That's what the Lord said, tell him. Tell him to run. Why? Because it's going to rain. You know the prophet goes up to the mountain with the prophets of Baal. They call upon their God, lay their sacrifice out, cover it with water. And in spite of all their effort, because their God is not a God at all, so he can't answer because he doesn't exist. So they're left in despondency, despair, defeat. And rightly so. The prophet lays his sacrifice out, pours water upon it, and God comes down in fire and consumes the sacrifice. Now it hasn't rained for 3.5 years. It said at the command of the man of God, a man, M-A-N, man said, it will not rain. And for 3.5 years, he held rain off with his faith. That's victory. Because God was in agreement. Now, if God hadn't been in agreement, we'd been in trouble. But you know, God told them if they sinned. When Solomon dedicated that temple, he said, Father, if this people sin and stray from you, command that the rain will not come. They knew that from the dedication of Solomon's temple. Sin, no rain. All the prophet did was step into the word, take the promise of the word, the commitment that God, that God's people had made to him at his house, and stopped the rain because of their sin and licentiousness. That's all he did. Well, now he's going to command it to rain. And he tells Ahab, you better head for town. Now it's 17 miles to town. 17 miles from Jezreel to Jezreel. And he gets in the chariot. He's heading to town when the prophet passes him by on foot. And the prophet said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. You can't hear rain if it's not raining. He heard it in his heart. And I hear in my heart, run, because the rain's coming. You know, if you got an army going to war, wouldn't you like them to be prepared? You know, Wayne was drafted during the Vietnam conflict, 1965, was it 65? And he was there over the Christmas holidays, and they had a new building, and they wanted the new building to be properly decorated. Wayne is very artistically talented. So they asked for a volunteer who could decorate the new building. So Wayne volunteered, and he's in. While they're learning to operate their gun, he's in drawing. And when they crawled through the obstacle course to prepare him for jungle life, he's in drawing. And when they came in from the obstacle course, very cold and very wet that day, they were frozen into their clothes. And he helped them get out of their clothes, helped them throw all the guns into the shower because they were coated in frozen mud and water. Now let me ask you, is he ready for war? No, he's just ready to draw. But he's not ready for war. See, when we run with the Holy Ghost, when we run with God, God answers prayer. Yes. Now, I don't know a thing about prayer. I hadn't thought of this in a long time. I'm not Pentecostal. And I said to the Lord, see, you've got to run with a particular objective in mind. You've got to run towards a particular goal. And I said to the Lord, okay, this is what I really want. This is it. I got it. This is what I want. Send him the closest base Auburndale, Florida. You got to run the race with a goal, with an objective in mind. You got to know where's the finish line. Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith, and he'll say, run that direction, and there's the line, and all I've got to do is take the word of God under my arm, hold fast to that word, and keep running. Well, they had Fort Benning is the jumping off place where they're training soldiers, and they had a lot of people coming and going. In the meantime, this art illustrator on the post at Fort Benning, Georgia, which is the closest post at that time to Auburndale, Florida, had gone home for whatever reason, finished his tour duty, I suppose. They asked Wayne, because he's in drawing, and they see he can draw, if he'd like that spot. See, when I saw the goal, God said, I'll do that. I see the goal first. You know what people do? They say, we found this wonderful house on Lime Street. Would you agree with me that we could have this house? And I agree with them. And we pray, where two agree on earth touching anything, it is done. We've agreed on this wonderful house. Next thing you know, they said, you should come see this house on Glengarry. I'm still parked over on my face over on Lime Street. They told me Lime Street was the will of God. I said, what happened to Lime Street? Oh, no, that won't work. That won't work. I said, you said that was the will of God. If Lime Street was the will of God on March the 24th, it's still the will of God on May the 24th. Now, you can't make it happen for somebody else, you understand. You're in agreement with them. If they jump ship, it's over. I know, he said, the angel. I thought she wanted that one on Lime Street. I was just working that out. I mean, you can agree with people for four or five different houses before they finally move into one, and you can know that you know that they were not in the will of God to start with, or else they turned loose of it.
That's right.
And quitters don't win. But winners, they don't quit. They what? They hold fast. They say, Lime Street, Lime Street, Lime Street, Lime Street, Lime Street, Lime Street. I'm living on Lime Street, on Lime Street, on Lime. I have no idea what's on Lime Street, so don't go even look for a house on Lime Street. I'm living on Lime Street, on Lime Street, on Lime Street. See, I said, Wayne is close to home. He's close to home. He's close to home. And when I saw the goal, when I saw the objective, when I found the will of God, and I held the word of God in my heart with the will of God, and then God said, I can do that.
Amen.
And he did. Imagine that he did. Kept his word. God is not a man that he should lie. Amen. Neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken? Shall he not make it good? I like 1 Kings 8:56. It says, there hath not failed one word of all that God has promised.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you about one word. Get your focus in on one word. Your kid wants new tennis shoes, and you say, we will do that tomorrow. We will do that tomorrow. Five words. Tomorrow comes, you're too tired. You really shouldn't do that. You should drag yourself to town. I do not believe. You'll teach your children distrust. You'll put some things in them that you won't like later, that'll be ugly later on if you do that. But tomorrow comes and you make your excuses and you say, we will do that Saturday. You only failed by one word. You only failed in one word. The only difference was tomorrow and Saturday. And God said, I will not fail in even one word.
Right.
Not even one word. That's awesome, isn't it? Look back at 1 Corinthians 9:26, where we started. We're running towards a particular goal, a particular objective. We're running with always in our mind, I win. I have the leadership of the Lord. I'm holding fast to the word of God. I win. Now it says in verse 26, I therefore so run, not as, what is that word? The Knox translation says, I do not run like a man in doubt. In doubt of your goal. See, I'm running with confidence. I've heard from heaven. He said, by Jesus' stripes you are healed. I didn't originate that. I didn't think that up. He said that. That's the goal. Healing is the goal. Healing is the objective. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. He said, if I'd give. He said, remind me of my word. So I just said, Lord, I gave. And you said. You know, a kid will remind you of your word, won't they?
You said we were going to grandma's.
I thought God said, you're my children. You just remind me of what I told you. He didn't really do that for his benefit. He has a great memory. He just wanted to make sure you didn't forget it. You know, in the early days of Pentecost, we're learning how to operate in faith. We don't have the foggiest idea. We got a set of rules. We're going step one, decide on your goal. Step two, find the scripture that promises you your goal. Step three, you know, down the line. And so somebody said you ought to have a goal every single day. Somebody said that. So being new at Pentecost, I thought, well, that's probably a good idea. Well, after several days, I can't remember my goals. I mean, I don't know, I was believing for something on Monday and something else on Tuesday and something else on Wednesday and something else on Thursday because somebody thought that was a good idea, and it may have been a good idea for them, but it wasn't a good idea for me. I don't even know what my goal is. I'm totally confused. I'd have to pray, Lord, you know that thing I asked you for on Monday? Would you mind sending that? And then I won't know if you sinned or not because I can't remember what it was. I mean, that's the way we prayed. Well, God had mercy.
See, he said, set a goal and hold fast. Take the word of God, place it on that goal, and don't turn loose. Run, 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 run.
We needed a new roof in the early years. For over a year, every night at supper, we said our children were smaller. Not small, but smaller. We'd bless our food, thank God for the food, and then we'd say, thank God for the new roof. We said that 1 year. We didn't have any money. A year later, we didn't have any money.
So you got faith and patience inherits the promise. It says, run the race with patience for the reward.
Patience is the ability to hang in there.
Amen.
Hang in there. You got your goal, you got your scripture, got your goal, you got your scripture. It's like getting ready to leave home. You got the diaper bag. You know, one day Suzanne called me. She's lost a diaper bag. She can't find a diaper bag. Can't leave home without the diaper bag. You got to have your purse. You got to have your diaper bag everywhere you go. Well, you got to have your word. You got to have your goal.
That's right.
Well, now our goal is well established in the spirit. You don't even have to be too spiritually alert. The roof is washing into the yard. With every rain, more roof in the yard, less roof on the roof. So you don't have to be too perceptive.
See, if I have a goal and I set a goal and I hold fast to that goal, God will say, I'll do that.
Amen.
He said, I can have all things pertaining to life. 2 Peter. Well, roofs are pertaining to life.
That's right.
So we set it for a year, so we just persevered. A year and a half came and went. My brother's off at college. He called. He'd worked for a roofer part-time in order to help put himself through school. And he said, I'm coming home for so many weeks. Didn't expect to come home, but he was coming home, oh, a week, 10 days, something like that. And he said, tell Wayne that I won't have time. We don't have time to do shingles. He said, because I'm new at it. I'm not fast enough. But we'll take that roof off, Wayne and I. We'll take that roof off to line him up a roofer and put the shingles on, you understand? Well, we didn't have the money. We've been saying it for a year and a half, but we still didn't have the money. But we got the goal and we got the scripture. That's all you need for victory is the goal and the scripture. 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 That's what you need. We got to have a new roof, and God said he'd meet my need out of his riches and glory.
Amen.
And there wasn't a soul alive that would have said, you don't need a new roof. We needed it. Well, we were expecting income tax refund would have been half enough. Half enough. So Wayne told him, we'll do it. And we took our income tax money, bought the shingles, and got a check in the mail with a note from a lady out of state that said, I felt led to give this to you. I felt you needed it for a particular purpose. And we had, within a few dollars, exactly enough to pay the roofer and for the supplies.
Glory.
Now see, God's not a tightwad. He's not a cheapskate. My brother called and said, now be sure when I get there, we have 2 square point shovels and 2 sets of gloves. Well, we borrowed 1 square point shovel, couldn't find another one. So Wayne asked around, and one fella, he said, I found one on the side of the road today by Lake Parker Power Plant, and I already have one. Would you like this one?
Glory.
See, God said, run, run, run. I can do that. 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 Run, 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 run. How? Always, always. How long?
Always.
Well, all we need now is gloves. We're down to 2 gloves. We got the money. We got the roofer. We got the free labor. We got the 2 square point shovels. We just need gloves. The glove salesman comes in. Happened to be in the neighborhood. Happened to have a new stock of gloves. Let me give you these gloves. Check them out. Write me a note to see if you think these are better than the old gloves. See, run, 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 run. You know the story of the tortoise and the hare? The tortoise should have been the loser. The hare should have been the winner. That in modern day language is the rabbit and the turtle. It's an older story. The rabbit's going to win. He's faster. But he got distracted. He got off course. You know what Paul said to the Galatian church? He said, you did run well. Who did hinder you?
He said, you are not on the course. You're not running towards the goal. What happened to you? You were running at the goal. So often we set a goal, we set an objective, and if it doesn't instantly materialize, then we turn loose. We've turned loose of the house of Lime Street. Looks like that's not working. We go on and find us another one. It's the will of God. I got five houses across town. That's the will of God. You ever done that? Well, the tortoise that should not have won, the turtle won the race. Because he didn't quit. The hare kept quitting. He took a few side trips, got off course, stopped and checked, had a little snack, got tired, took a little nap. While he's napping and snacking, the old turtle who's just going, you ever waited for a turtle to cross the road? You know that. It's a 20-minute ordeal, 23-foot strip. Passed that old hare right by. The hare was equipped for victory, but he lost. God's people are equipped for victory, but if they don't stand with the word of God in their heart and hold fast their confession of faith, they will not win. But if you stand fast and you have God's promise and you have a set goal, a set objective, I don't mean an evasive goal. I don't mean an optional goal. I mean, this is the will of God. This is what I want. This is what's happening. And I begin to run in that direction. Just run, run. Quoting my scripture day and night and running. Quoting and running. Quoting and running. Quoting and running. Quoting and running. Thanks be unto God. Which what? Which what? Causes us to triumph.